Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We're doing a thorough study of liberalism. This is my 52nd podcast on this topic of liberalism, the new improved broad road to destruction. We were looking last week, we've actually been looking for a while at what I'm calling the ghost of liberalism present, and we were looking at what is termed progressive Christianity, another term for liberalism, and how these progressives are very involved politically. We were looking at an article, we closed the podcast last week with an article by Joel McDermott, called Obama's Agenda Inside Evangelical Churches and the Religious Leaders Who Brought Him In. And of course, we kind of keyed on a man by the name of Jim Wallace of Sojourners magazine, and we'll continue to look a little bit more at Wallace. I've spoken about him in past podcasts to some degree, and anyway, we will look a little bit more at him and another instance of his political connection of Barack Obama. And, you know, when I was living in Tulsa, Oklahoma for a period of time, there was a conference going on at the time that I didn't really hear about until later. But I've got the information on that conference, which I neither attended nor was aware of at the time. And it was hosted actually by a former TBN darling known as Carlton Pearson, who some of you may recall. Remember, he used to be very popular as a singer and a pastor, etc., on TBN, Trinity Broadcast Network. And anyway, this conference was hosted by him, and he basically has embraced the gospel of inclusion. And why not? You know, he's embraced the heresy of universalism as well, denies that there is a literal hell. And in fact, his fall from grace was so bad that he was banned from a conference by Oral Roberts at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa. And I remember reading that in the local paper at the time. Now imagine that the guy who talked to the 900-foot Jesus, being Oral, who was going to be killed by this said 900-foot Jesus, if he didn't beg up $8 million from God's people, imagine someone like that banning you for being a heretic and not allowing you to come on campus. But anyway, that was the situation there in Tulsa at the time. And anyway, this man, Carlton, he attracted a star-studded array of celebrities for his Inclusion and Sacred Activism Conference in 2007. And according to his website, the purpose of his conference was to expose people to the emerging wisdom of the inclusive collect mind, to encourage conference attendees to take a stand for progressive thinking and values, to galvanize a deeper connection between our spiritual practices and social action, to commit to building a global learning community relating to inclusion consciousness, sacred activism, and the emerging wisdom culture in America. And then finally, to merge intelligence and spirituality, wisdom, and worship for those speaking personal as well as professional transformation and self-actualization. There's some New Age buzzwords there for you. But anyway, among the guests, and I'm only going to read a few, some of them actually I was not particularly familiar with. Some of them I'm very familiar with. But right off the bat, let me mention the two that we're all very familiar with. Barack Obama, who at the time was a United States Senator. Remember, this was in 2007, before we had to endure the 8 years of his presidency. Also, you know, another speaker that I'm even, you know, as I'm speaking about was the Carlton Pearson, but also Jim Wallace, the founder of Sojourners, was one of the speakers. Now, I mentioned those up front right off the bat because I will be speaking more about Wallace as we go on today. But just a few other names that I'll throw out here. Lauren Artress, who was a former pastor at the Grace Cathedral up in San Francisco, who I've spoken at length about. She's the one really who probably more than anybody popularized walking the labyrinth as a means for spiritual growth. And of course, as I say, was one of the pastors of this very liberal church where James Pike was renowned for his liberal agenda and ultimately his demonic contact with deceiving spirits. Michael Beckwith, a pastor, Agape International Spiritual Center. Now, I've seen him at the Whole Life Expo when I lived in Los Angeles, which was a major New Age three-day conference. But he also promoted The Secret, which, of course, if you recall, was also kind of a New Age prosperity-promoting gimmick that was very popular. Oprah, of course, promoted it as well as many others. And then Jane Goodall, the primatologist, was there. I believe she is the woman that worked with all the apes. Robert Kennedy Jr., you know, no comment. Anyway, Robert Kennedy Jr. was there. Carolyn Mice, a medical intuitive teacher and best-selling author of Anatomy of the Spirit, Why People Don't Heal and How They Can, Sacred Contracts, and Invisible Acts of Power. Well, anyway, moving on, of course, there's Carlton Pearson, who was the pastor of New Dimensions in Tulsa, the author of God Is Not a Christian and Is There a Man in the House? I'm sorry. Anyway, and then the, like I say, there's several other people that were invited and spoke at this conference. But then, of course, we don't want to forget Marianne Williamson, the inspirational speaker and author of 9 books, including the bestsellers A Return to Love and Everyday Grace. And her big claim to fame was promoting The Course in Miracles, which was a spirit-channeled or a demonically channeled book that supposedly was kind of like Jesus' final thoughts that he forgot to throw into the Bible. But these demons wanted to impersonate him. And Williamson didn't write The Course in Miracles, but she used it a lot, as many other New Agers did as well. And you'll probably remember the name Jeremiah Wright. He was the mentor to Barack Obama, who at the time, of course, was United States Senator. And you remember he was kind of noted for the comment, you know, God damn America or something like that. I can't remember. I don't want to use all the language that this particular fake pastor used. But he was the pastor of the Trinity United Church of Christ, which, of course, the United Church of Christ, extremely liberal. But, you know, he was a mentor to, it was more of a radical anarchist than he was anything else. Certainly wasn't a true biblical man of God or a pastor, but he was a big influence on Barack Obama, who later distanced himself from him. And then Stevie Wonder, the musician, you're probably familiar with his name. So anyway, there were a lot of other speakers there as well, but I only mention all that just to say that Jim Wallis was right there in the mix with all the New Agers and the political radicals and the anarchists and all the other fun folks that were there. And then another conference, actually, that he was a keen, well, now I'm getting back to Carlton Pearson, just a little bit more about him before we move on to more about Mr. Wallace. Pearson was also a keynote speaker at the New Thought Revival in Atlanta, and this was back, of course, some years ago in 2012. And it says a New Thought Revival is coming to Unity, North Atlanta. Well, a Unity, of course, that's Unity School of Christianity. It used to be called a major neo-Gnostic cult, which I've talked about many times. And it says here about they did a Dateline, an interview on Dateline, the TV program. I think it's NBC's program. And again, this was back some time ago. But this is what the blurb says about Pearson on this information for this revival that he went to, this New Thought Revival, which, of course, New Thought religion is similar to New Age. And anyway, it says Bishop Carlton Pearson spent most of his life as an evangelical minister with a congregation of over 5,000. But in his studies, he began to question the concept of hell as he had preached it. Bishop Pearson recognized that just as heaven is lived here on earth, so is hell. The acknowledgement of this truth cost him his congregation and his standing as next in line to Oral Roberts. More recently, he has felt a passion to proclaim the gospel of inclusion, as we mentioned before, and has written a widely acclaimed book by that name, published by Simon & Schuster. The book emphasizes multicultural dialogue and common respect for all faith disciplines. It confronts the Christian church's exclusivism as being inconsistent, even though Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me," by the way. Pretty exclusive, I would say, only through Jesus. But anyway, to continue the quote, he says, "In spirit with the teaching of Jesus." Okay, it confronts the Christian church's exclusivism, and that's why he wants to be inclusive, as being inconsistent in spirit with the teachings of Jesus, and that it is more important what Jesus said about God than what the church says about Jesus. Well, how about what Jesus said about Jesus? Well, anyway, I won't go there. I've said enough in the past, and I'll probably be saying a lot more about Jesus 14:6, that very important verse that Jesus said he's the only way to God. But anyway, just a couple more comments about that from the Dateline interview. Don't have time to say much here. But the person speaking to him, this is actually Pearson speaking to this guy. His name is Morrison. I don't have his first name. But it says, "It was one day when things were at their bleakest. Carlton got a phone call. It was an invitation to be guest speaker at a small church in San Francisco at a place full of outcasts, lesbian pastor, a church of gays, AIDS patients, abused women." And the interviewer says, "The rejected of the world?" "Yeah, the people who had experienced what I was experiencing. They were pros at it. Gays are pros at being rejected." Carlton explained to them his new ideas about hell, his notion that heaven was waiting for everybody, even them. And when he was done, the minister invited him to sit down, take off his shoes, and she got out a bowl of water. Isn't that special? You know, and the truth is, heaven is waiting for everybody as long as they'll go through Jesus Christ, as the aforementioned John 14:6 tells us. You don't come on your own terms. You don't come with your own plan. You don't reject God's truth that there's a hell to be shunned and a heaven to be gained through Jesus. You know, I guess Carlton feels he knows better. Anyway, that was from the New Thought Conference that he spoke to. And then just finally, and this is the last thing I'll say about Pearson here, was he also had the opportunity to be a keynote speaker at the United Centers for Spiritual Living, their 2008 annual community gathering. This was titled "Behaving Boldly." At first, I almost said "Behaving Badly," which is probably a better title, because these folks are spiritual anarchists against God's truth and His Word. But anyway, strategies for inspiration and influence. And this was, of course, in Kansas City, Missouri. In fact, I even found this flyer inside the Unity School of Christianity, where, of course, I've mentioned I've often visited there in Unity Village, which is a suburb of Kansas City. And this particular conference that he joined in with included three other New Age / New Thought speakers, one of them was a man by the name of Reverend, and I'll just mention the one, Reverend Gary Simmons. And the reason I mention him is because he is the director of Integral Operations, the Association of Unity Churches International. So Bishop Pearson, and no surprise considering the other conference he was involved, or the other two that I've mentioned, was involved with this heretical neo-Gnostic Reverend Dr. Gary Simmons, as well as these other two folks that you should pray for. They're in rebellion against God, and they're following demonic seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. But anyway, now back to Jim Wallis. Now that I've shown you the connection politically with the other movers and shakers at Carlton Pearson's event, this is from, it's like a WikiLeaks type info on Jim Wallis. And it says here that in discussing the 2004 American presidential elections, Wallis said, "Jesus didn't speak at all about homosexuality. There are about 12 verses in the Bible that touch on that question, And there are thousands of verses on poverty. So that's his big thing. And of course, he's a red letter Christian. And just to, you know, so, you know, he's a red letter Christian. So Jesus didn't say it, according to him, in his red letters. So, you know, I guess we can just toss the rest of the Bible in those verses that do talk about homosexuality. But, you know, I figured I might go back and once again read to you the letter that I wrote to the Tulsa World in response to a letter that was written by a pastor of the extremely liberal church I visited there. So I'll make this short. Recently, Bradley Byers asked, "Help, which Christian pastor should I believe? The correct answer is any pastor who believes and trusts God's word." That's what my letter has said in response to his letter, and 2 Timothy 3:16. This would apparently eliminate Reverend Paul Ashby from the list. His response was none of them. Pastors who speak about abortion and homosexuality are speaking about subjects Jesus never addressed. Untrue, I wrote, but understandable coming from a liberal with such a low view of Scripture. Of course Jesus spoke against murder and abortion in Matthew 19:18, and he spoke against homosexuality in Luke 17, verses 28 through 30. In the Luke passages, Jesus spoke of God's judgment against Sodom, where homosexual acts or sodomy were practiced continually. And good news, Ashby, the words are all written in red. I mention red letters because Ashby approves of the red letter movement. And, of course, Jim Wallace is also part of that movement. But in my letter I wrote, Tony Campolo, author of Red Letter Christians, has a similar low view of Scripture as Ashby does. I just think it's good to reread this letter to you, you know, as it relates to the comments that Wallace just made there. For instance, Ashby says we need to question those who claim to follow the Christ and are interested in the epistles of an apostle who never met Jesus. Any other parts of God's word we should question, Ashby? I'm confident that all of the apostles met Jesus. My genuine concern is, have you met Jesus, Mr. Ashby? The apostle Paul in Romans 1:18 speaks of those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and Romans 1:26-27 clearly condemns homosexual practice. Could this be the apostle of whom Ashby speaks? No, Paul met Jesus, Acts 9:36, and it's written in red letters, so it's official. And again, that was my sarcasm to Mr. Ashby, because he would have us to believe that Paul wasn't really an apostle, and that we shouldn't be listening to what he said, because, of course, he has a low view of Scripture and doesn't recognize that that was inspired of God, what was in those passages that I just read. You know, that I alluded to and read in, well, actually that I did read in partially in Romans 1:18. Okay, he goes on. This is also said about him. It says, Wallace was invited by Senator Harry Reid to give the Democrats' weekly radio address on Saturday, December 2nd, 2006. Well, there's a big shocker, huh? He spoke about the importance of moral leadership in Washington and touched on a variety of social concerns. I can't help but laugh. You know, social concerns, you might insert social gospel. But you can imagine Harry Reid and he coming together and he speaking about moral leadership. You know, I don't know. The two just somehow, they don't seem to go together. You know, Harry Reid and moral leadership. But anyway, this was, you know, Wallace's topic that Harry Reid came and invited him to speak to the Democrats' weekly radio address. Now, in August 2009, he signed a public statement encouraging Christians to read, wrestle with, and respond to Caritas In Verite, In Verite, it's a small print, the social encyclical by Pope Benedict XVI. Well, anyway, so obviously comfortable with Rome there. Now, Wallace has some very interesting beliefs, as you might imagine, and I have a few of them here. This is quoting him in Christianity Today in 2008. He says, "I don't think that abortion is the moral equivalent issue to slavery. I think poverty is the new slavery. Poverty and global inequality are the fundamental moral issues of our time. That's my judgment." He says Christianity will be impotent, this is the same article, to lead a conversation on sexuality and gender if we do not bodily integrate our current understandings of humanity with our theology. This will require us to not only draw new conclusions about sexuality, but will force us to consider new ways of being sexual. All right. He goes on to say, and this is in another, this is in Worldview Weekend 2010, as more Christians become influenced by liberation theology, finding themselves increasingly rejecting the values of institutions of capitalism, they will also be drawn to the Marxist analysis and praxis that is so central to the social justice movement. Well, there you have it, folks. The social justice movement and Marxism are very comfortable and cozy together. Jim Wallace is a writer and political activist, best known as the founder and editor of Sojourners magazine, for which he admitted to accepting money from George Soros, who has financed groups supporting abortion and atheism. Wallace has been arrested 22 times for acts of civil disobedience, and he serves as a spiritual advisor to President Obama. We've already gone into a little bit of that in the past. Now, one more quote, I think, here. 1995, or not a quote, but just a comment. Wallace founded Call to Renewal for the purposes of advocating for leftist economic agendas such as tax hikes and wealth redistribution to promote social justice. Marxism alert. Anyway, he himself stated, that's what the gospel is all about. And then, of course, it mentions Harry Reid. It says in 2005, Democratic senators, including Reid, met with Wallace to devise clever ways to use religious language to pull evangelical voters away from Republicans. And that, of course, I read already some of the information from Joel McDermott's comments, his white paper report, if you will. Now, Lighthouse Trails has put out many excellent booklets, Lighthouse Trails Publishing. One of them is What You Need to Know About Jim Wallace and the Social Justice Gospel. Guarantee you, there's not many publishing companies that would put something like this out, and thank God that they do. But anyway, I recommend it to you. Here's some more of the beliefs that Wallace has. These are some quotes on being born again. Jesus proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He is saying that a whole new order is about to enter history, and if you want to be a part of it, you will need a change so fundamental that the Gospel of John would later refer to it as a new birth. Being born again was not meant to be a private religious experience that is hard to communicate. Really? I thought that's exactly what it was. Well, thank God for Jim Wallace. Anyway, he goes on to say, but rather the prerequisite for joining a new and very public movement, the Jesus and Kingdom of God movement. Well, so there you have it. That's twisting the scripture to his own destruction and to those that will listen to him and follow him. On Israel, he says, the completely one-sided support for Israel from conservative evangelicals rests on two things. One, a very dubious interpretation, I'm being generous here, of biblical prophecy, in which the modern state of Israel is still equated with the Old Testament notion of God's chosen people. And two, a complete denial of the very existence of Palestinian Christians. This group is basically very anti-Semitic. Liberals in general are becoming more and more so. But anyway, I won't spend a whole lot of time on that, or I will in the future when we get into other aspects of liberalism morphing into different types of movements. On the imminent return of Jesus, in all of Wallace's writings, I could find no hint of our blessed hope of Christ's return, nor could I find discussion by him of having a personal biblical relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's pretty obvious, isn't it, from what he said before about being born again was not meant to be a private religious experience, but joining a new and public movement. Yeah, like a Marxist movement. How about that? Anyway, Sojourners Magazine, as we've mentioned before, is his magazine, and he's accepted money from George Soros in the past, I assumedly, to help keep this rag, afloat. But anyway, in this magazine, of which I have a few older copies, the front cover for this particular issue, January 2008, To Whom Do We Belong? A Call to Repentance by Jim Wallace. I won't say much about that, but I'm basically going to comment here on some of the ads and some of the other things that you find within Sojourners Magazine, and you wonder, what the heck? This is 7 Deadly Social Sins poster that you can get, and it's got a picture of Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi. And if you subscribe to Sojourners, you receive a free poster of Gandhi's 7 Deadly Social Sins, and I won't mention what they all are. You know, who cares? This is supposed to be a Christian magazine, right? And yet we have Gandhi getting top billing here in the poster. You know, how about a poster of Jesus? And I'm being facetious, but I'm also trying to make a point that Gandhi was not a Christian. And anyway, but wait, there's more. You have an advertisement for the Mandala Center, which is a nonprofit ecumenical retreat center welcoming to all. And its upcoming programs, particularly back at the day when this was in this magazine, listening to the voice within, a discernment retreat for clergy. You'll have to forgive me, folks. You can't make this stuff up. You can go to this discernment retreat, and I guess this is going to help your discernment as you go to this place, which also was offering a weekend of mindfulness. Mindfulness, an antidote to stress and ineffective behaviors, is the practice of paying attention to things as they are without judgment. This workshop introduces the practice of mindfulness and includes meditation, gentle yoga, and discussion. Of course, mindfulness, that's a whole different, another topic, but it is a New Age type, Eastern religious type practice. Has nothing to do, in fact, it's Antichrist is what it is. And then finally, the Taze, and I may not be pronouncing it right, Ministry Weekend, Taze-style worship. Well, this is part of the contemplative spirituality that's wreaking havoc in the church today that people think is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Then there's an ad for the Emerging Church Conference, which features such wonderful Christians like Brian McLaren, the emergent church guy of all guys, I guess, Phyllis Tickle, who's passed away, Shane Claiborne, who was Tony Campolo's right-hand man. And so anyway, they had a fresh understanding of Jesus, spirituality that links contemplation and action, social justice and holistic mission, and authentic community. I'm sorry I missed that one. Not really. But moving right along, then finally there was an ad for a book, a collection of the collected sermons of William Sloan Coffin, who, sad to say, is in his coffin. I couldn't resist that one, folks. I hope he met Jesus somehow, you know, before he entered into that big box. But anyway, comprising the sermons preached by Coffin while he was minister at Riverside Church in New York City, this beautifully assembled collection captures the renowned preacher and activist at work, ministering to American hostages in Iran, supporting AIDS awareness, rallying his audiences to battle poverty and nuclear proliferation, all the while celebrating marriages and mourning the loss of loved ones, and dramatically preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, wait a minute. No, I just put that in there. He actually doesn't say anything about him preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a surprise. But anyway, this particular individual, as I recall, I believe he was a member of the faculty of Union Theological Seminary, one of the most liberal seminaries of the time. Well, I'm out of time. Next week, we will continue to look a little bit more at Jim Wallis, and then we'll move on to look at some other things concerning the progressive Christian movement. Thank you for joining me. I hope you'll be back next week. God bless.